Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Country and Western singer Mac Davis wrote these lyrics in one of his songs. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. I'm going to take, just for the benefit of the doubt, that Mac Davis did not really believe that. He was only being sarcastic. Certainly, humility and pride are opposites and contradict each other. And Proverbs 16 focuses on this contrast between pride and humility. There's only one line in that song I agree with. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Stop. So my first point is the humble and proud person is seen in his view of himself and of the Lord. Let me repeat Proverbs 16, 17 through 20. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his life preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Since this sermon will be contrasting pride and humility, it's important to give a definition of each so that we're not lost in the fog by what we mean. I would say that humility is an accurate view of God, yourself, and others. Humility should not be defined in terms of someone looking down on themselves or someone who denies that they are important or gifted or in any way significant. That's not the meaning of humility. That's a false view of humility. An accurate view of humility starts with a proper view of God, that God is all-powerful, merciful, just, and righteous. And then we proceed to knowledge of ourselves based on that. Humility then has a proper reverence for God, as we're told at the very opening chapter of this book. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. From this, we build upon our identity as people who are made in the image of God and have been created to worship and serve God and to love their neighbor as they love themselves, as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, and when he spoke of the two great commandments. Further, we have a perfect example of humility in the Lord Jesus. As the Apostle Paul says about our Lord Jesus in Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was not self-centered. He was focused on doing the will of his Father when it was not based on his own comfort and ease. He did the will of his Father by not only being sent into our world as a human, but further undergoing death, even death on a cross for our sins. Pride is the exact opposite of humility in that it is a practical denial of God. Even if a person says they believe in God, if during the space of their life, they don't act as if God exists, then they're a practical atheist. The proud is only concerned with his own wants and desires, and quite frankly, could care less about other people. He lives by the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. More about this later under my second point. But the phrase to depart from evil is also found in Proverbs 16:6 earlier in this chapter, where the context proves that we're to keep away from evil, meaning moral evil. Our proverb therefore means the highway consists in shunning what is contrary to God's will and by persevering on this straight path by guarding one's whole being. This is one of the exercises of humility, that you realize that there is right and there is wrong, and you stay on the highway of doing that which is right. Nobody perfectly does that. And yet humility looks to the cross of Jesus. It has the humility to say, I'm a sinner. Specifically, I blew it in this way. I erred and strayed. Help me, Lord, to get back on a straight path and forgive me of my sins. That's what humility looks like in practical terms. Derek Kidner said this about his commentary on this verse, Proverbs 16:18. The special evil of pride is that it opposes the first principle of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord and the great commandments. The proud person is therefore at odds with himself, his neighbor, and the Lord. Destruction may appropriately come from any quarter. End of quote. The proud person does not want to hear about the teaching of God's word and conveniently ignores or obstinately refuses to believe in it or yield to it. The statement in Proverbs 16:20 about the one who gives attention to the word will find good. The word spoken of here is specifically God's word, God's written word. And those who give the word of God their proper attention will find good. As the psalmist says in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We're able to taste in the Lord's goodness by paying attention to God's word, deeply thinking on it and meditating on it as if it's our nourishment, because it really is our nourishment. As I've said it before, I'm not one to miss meals. I hardly ever forget about that. I may forget about other things, but not that. With that same tenacious desire to be well fed, we need to go to God's word and never miss a spiritual meal for our soul, because our soul needs it just as much, if not more, than our body does. And so may we come to the word of God for our nourishment and feed upon the true bread of our souls, Jesus Christ and his holy word. As we're reading, heard it read from Luke 8, 4 through 15, it is sobering to realize that three out of the four responses to the word of God were ultimately negative responses. The response of the seed which fell beside the road is one who hears the word of God but does not believe it for his salvation. He doesn't have any interest in it. But the next two seem to have an initial response, at least in a positive direction, but it doesn't persevere. The second response of the seed which fell on the rocky soil is one who initially receives the word of God with joy, but then falls away because of temptation. The third soil is the seed which fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the good seed, which is the reception of the word of God, but is choked by the worries of this world and the riches and pleasures of this life, and the fruit does not come to maturity. The last soil is the good seed which fell on the good soil, which heard the word of God, held it fast, and it bore fruit with perseverance. I wanted to review this parable to remind us of the challenge of hearing the Word of God and persevering, holding it fast like it's our life, because again, it is our life, and persevering in our faith in the Lord with continuing faith and repentance. We do need to acknowledge the hard fight that we are in and not get weak at the knees about the battle we are in. Let me remind you that we're in mortal combat of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we need to be persevering and asking God for the grace of perseverance. It brings me to my second point, is that the humble and proud person is seen in how they interact with other people. It is under this point that we see the negative, ugly ways the proud person interacts with others. Notice the words of the proud and his actions, in which he shows no concern for others, in Proverbs 16, 27 through 30. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. The proud man digs up dirt and evil about his neighbor. He lives by the adage, as long as people are not making fun of me, then who cares if other people are being made fun of or kicked down, as long as it's not me. He could care less about others, and he kicks at others while they're down. Notice also his words are like a scorching fire. What a picture of the damaging impact of our words. And what a contrast between his words and the words of the wise man recorded in Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Sweet to the soul or like a scorching fire? They're the exact opposite. One person's words, they care about you. They try to encourage you. At times, they may try to challenge you when they see you going the wrong path. But the fool's words, the proud man's words, are like a scorching fire. And so we need to be careful to build others up and not tear them down. Proverbs 16:28 goes on to speak of the man who spreads strife. This word can either mean discord, disharmony, or a brawling, contentious dispute. And I think they're meaning brawling in the literal fashion, when you get so overheated, it doesn't just stop with a contentious argument, fists get a-flying. The proud person drives a wedge between people, and it's more than just a disagreement. A disagreement between two people is not necessarily wrong. It can be a simple, we need to agree to disagree, but not with someone who is bent on a fight. The second half of this verse takes it a step further. A slanderer separates intimate friends. Slander is defined in Webster's dictionary as the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame or damage another person's reputation. What is especially troublesome about slander is that it is the spreading of false charges when someone knows that they are false charges. And so they spread this false information with the intent to destroy somebody's reputation. The person who spreads slander is full of malice, vindictiveness, and hatred for the other person. They could care less about them or their words, which cause damage. But sadly, what goes around also comes around. And they get bitten by their own medicine of lies and falsehoods when they are spread about them as well. We must remember what has been taught to us by our Lord, as it is sometimes known as the Golden Rule in Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. In Proverbs 16:32, Solomon writes this about the virtue of self-control. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Practicing patience and self-control of your anger and your mouth is proof that you are able to rule your spirit. These virtues of patience and self-control are far superior to the military might necessary to capture a city. But once again, we have to humbly acknowledge that self-control and patience are hard virtues. They do not come easily, because from the day of our birth, we are naturally inclined to be self-centered, to be impatient, to lose control. And we all have a trigger point. Our trigger points may all be very different, but once they're hit, we're in the fight. Let us remember the promise of God given to us in the teaching of James, chapter 4, verse 6. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. May we look to God that by His grace we may live wisely as we strive to be patient, to be concerned about others, and to grow in the fear of the Lord and in His wisdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the clear warnings about pride and arrogance and the terrible consequences that come when nurturing a proud spirit. Keep us, we pray, from the sin of pride or trusting in our own importance, or from thinking that we can add to our salvation or contribute toward our sanctification through our own power. Help us to grow in grace and to walk in spirit and in truth. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.